to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains. How are you? I hope that your life is in order. I hope that you are being loved and caring for yourself and caring for others. And maybe if you're in a situation where that's not working and your love relationship is in a bit of a quandary, we have a phenomenal guest, Leslie Dorries. She is here to talk to us about relationships, about sustaining them, maybe if you're in the middle of a divorce, how to talk to your children. I think it's going to be a fascinating conversation because love is in need of love today. Leslie Dorries has had a lifelong curiosity about what makes marriage work. After professional studies and herself having a long-lasting loving marriage for over a quarter of a century mark, she has found some answers. Leslie is known as an expert in what makes relationships successful. Since 2002, couples and individuals have been coming to her to learn how to make their relationship dreams come true. She's an author and she's a phenomenal speaker, so we want to welcome her to The Edge this morning, Leslie Dorries. How are you?
I am fine. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Me and my brains need that. I want to just envelop people in love in every which way I can. And if it's not love, at least, you know, civility, understanding, and compassion. So we want to start with your story. How did you decide to make this your life work?
Well, it's a long story, so I will try to give you, like, the bullet version. But, you know, as I said, I'm the child of divorce. My parents got divorced, so I know what that's like from the inside, and it was very, very painful. And I was very lucky. My oldest sister took very good care of me, and she introduced me to the man who became my husband. And we will be celebrating 33 years in May. And, you know, but as I went through my career and I did my master's degree and I figured out what it was I wanted to do with my life, I kept coming back to working with people on how to make their lives better. And through one of my very first clients was a 5-year-old little girl who was brought to me with anxiety. And what was really happening is that she was the rope in her parents' tug of war. They'd been divorced since she was 2, and I finally said to the mom, I said, I've got the wrong person in my office, and I never saw them again. So I don't even know how old she is now. She's an adult by now, but to me, she's always going to be that 5-year-old little girl, and that's really driven my intent, my goal of helping people to do this right, because the only way I can protect her is to help her parents and parents like her parents learn how to do this in a way that is not harmful.
Right. So we had a little pre-discussion before we came on Line to the Brains. I love the term consciously uncouple. You don't particularly care for that, so we're going to banter that back and forth because I think that, you know, to be conscious of it, to be aware of it, to be passionate, to care about the other person, and to uncouple is a strong term. Tell me why you don't particularly care for that term.
Well, it's not so much that I don't care for the term. It's just that for many people, it's unrealistic because usually divorces are initiated by one partner. They're unilateral. They're not bilateral. It's not that the couple has come to an agreement that they can't work this out. Usually it's one person leaving the other, and there are unresolved emotions, unresolved resentments, and unfortunately what happens is that when all you have to argue about is the kids, they end up in the crossfire. And
right.
the concept of it is not bad. It's just making it work. And most couples get divorced when they indeed do not wish each other well. And that's
right.
really my issue with it is, and a lot of times if couples can work through a lot of that emotional upset and emotional hurt, they can actually put the relationship back together again, which, by the way, is what their children want.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, children of divorce are right caught in the crosshairs of that. You've had a 30-year-plus year successful marriage. I've had 35 years. What has been your key to success? And I will share mine.
Well, one of the things is we actually like each other. We enjoy
that's huge.
I mean, you know, we're friends, and we admire and respect each other. We have managed to stay connected. We have two grown children now. I tell people I don't have children. I have adults. And
right.
we managed to maintain our marriage, maintain our romantic relationship through the child-rearing years, which are notorious for putting a hit on marriage. We know this. We know that marital satisfaction goes down when children enter the scene. And so it's really about being intentional and staying connected and communicating and dealing with the problems when they come up. And, oh, by the way, my husband and I have not agreed on everything over the last 33 years.
But we
found a way to talk about it. And like I said, we like each other, which,
right,
you know,
right,
and we've never resorted to, even when we disagree with each other, we've never been cruel. We've never been unkind. You know, we've been angry, but we've never said anything, you know, inappropriate to each other, which I think is also a big deal.
Exactly. Communication is key, and that is what I have found has worked in my marriage, and I really adore him, and he adores me. We laugh a lot. We make time for one another. We are really romantic. You know, there's certain things that he likes that just, you know, sets his soul aflame, and there's things that I like. I really work on, you know, keeping myself up as far as sexy and attractive, because that's what he likes. And, you know, I'm old-fashioned. I love to cook him a good meal. If his feet hurt or his back hurt, great. He always brings flowers. You know, it's just the little things that just kind of spark the relationship, in addition to what you said. But I also think that it's important that I sometimes have to put on his armor and pretend that I am him in certain situations. Okay, now what would he be thinking in this certain situation? Because men mostly go by action. Women are very verbal. We want to talk about it forever. You know, my husband is quick to say, okay, baby, we've had that conversation. I get it. I don't want to talk about that no more. And I hear
right.
what he's saying. So
right.
it's important
it's
that you have
like
to be
that horse
a good listener.
Is dead. Can we stop beating it? Yeah.
Exactly. exactly. And bringing up old things. Okay, well, remember the last time? That's irrelevant. If we've resolved that, then we need to move beyond that. And, you know, just really kind of keeping other people out of our relationship. You know, there's family members and there's friends that always want to chime in and chirp in, but you know the person that you're with. And so that's what you really need to focus on. I think that that's great. What are some of the breakdowns in communications that people normally have from your experience?
Well, there's a major challenge to marriage. It's what I consider to be the greatest challenge to any marriage, in fact, any relationship, but marriage in particular, is that you are now, always have been, and always will be two different people. Now what do we do with that? And
right.
so a lot of it, what happens in communication is we're not really listening to understand our partner. We are trying to convince them that our way of viewing things and our way of doing things is the right way. Well, it works
right.
for us, but when we're with somebody else, they have a different view of the world. They have different experiences. Their brain works differently. I tell people, nobody wants me designing bridges or working on their computers because that's not the way my brain works.
Exactly.
And it's being open to learning about who this person is. And, oh, by the way, while we will stay pretty much the same kind of person at our core. People's personalities generally don't do a big change unless they've had some kind of major incident where they reexamine their lives. But most of the time we stay pretty similar. But that doesn't mean we're the same over the years. And so making assumptions is a very dangerous thing, and we do it all the time because, oh, I've known this person for years, and I know what they're going to say, and I know what they're going to do. And after my husband and I have been together for almost 34 years, and sometimes I look at him and going, who are you, and where did that come from?
I've had
because
that
it's
moment.
Something we've never talked about. And it's like, okay.
Exactly. But also the ability to concede. You know, you don't always have to be right. You get your point across, and if you can agree to disagree and not be disagreeable, because people have a right to their own opinion. Like you said, it's not my job to convince you to change you, but to try to come to some commonality, some sort of mutual understanding. The value of seeking counseling, there's a lot of people that really don't understand that. They don't do it. I think that to have a bipartisan person there to give a neutral point of view, to listen to both sides, is critical. A lot of people go to their clergy, or they go to their, you know, their parents or their friends. But tell me, from you, and extract yourself from being a professional therapist, but what would you find valuable in people really seeking out counseling?
Well, there's a fallacy out there that relationships are natural and that there isn't anything that we know, but people who are trained in this, we actually do know what makes relationships work. I don't think anybody should be allowed to graduate from high school without having to take a relationship 101 course, because there are rules to relationships, just like there are rules to everything else, and people don't know what those rules are. So one thing is, if you're talking to a professional, they can explain to you what works and what doesn't work, just the conversation of needing to be right. Well, are we talking about opinion or are we talking about fact? And most of the time when people are in a disagreement, it's about opinion. They're not arguing whether or not the earth is the center of the universe, because we know that's not true. They're arguing about something else. And so part of this is understanding. It's also learning how to communicate well. It's learning what the natural ebb and flow of a relationship is, how to know what's a problem, how to know what isn't a problem, all of these things. And people ask, do I do premarital work? I said I would if anybody was interested in it. But unfortunately, couples on the way to the altar are in love. They think they buy into the Beatles, love is all you need. It's like, love is great. I'm a huge fan of love. And it's just not enough. You need to have some skills. And that's what going to an objective third party does, because when we go to our friends general or our family, generally we're going when we're bothered by something, and we want our friends to go, yeah, that was really awful, you need to just blah blah blah. Like, that's not helpful. and a trained professional is going to go, and your part in the pattern is what?
Right. Now, again, gay marriage is definitely here to stay, and you do work with gay couples. Do you find that the texture of the relationships are different because you're dealing with same sexes, or does that not matter? You're still dealing with the totality of the individual.
Well, definitely the totality of the individual, but their orientation does matter, because there are, whether or not we want to believe this, biological differences between men and women. And yes, we're all on the continuum somewhere, but so those will play out in same-sex relationships in a different way than in heterosexual relationships. And, because men's and women's brains, they are wired differently. That doesn't necessarily mean that all men are this way or all women are that way, but there does tend to be a more of a breakdown with that. And I think you actually see that when you have same-sex couples, because you'll see, oh, this is a little bit more on one end of the continuum than the other, even though biologically they're the same gender.
Right. Now, we want to talk a little bit about children in the relationship, because I know that that's very near and dear to your heart, as mine as well. I want to stay on the gay couple relationship.
Okay.
A lot of gay couples are having surrogates deliver their children, or they're adopting children. And I've been looking at some interviews on the Internet, and, of course, that's not the gospel. That's not the truth for everybody.
Right.
But what is the conversation? You know, because kids are cruel. They're subjected to a lot of bullying. A lot of people don't understand. It's comfortable if you're in that relationship day in and day out and you've got two moms and everything is working well. But then when you go to have the daddy-daughter dance and you're bringing your mother and your other mother, there's going to be some differences that are going to be brought up to children. How do you have that conversation with them?
Well, I am a believer that we need to be as honest with children as possible in an age-appropriate way. Now, therein lies the big question. And one of the other things that we need to do with children is to first listen to them. Find out what they're struggling with. It's really easy to ask, especially for younger kids, to ask, well, is it this? Well, is that? Were you bothered by the other thing? As opposed to just really trying to provide them with a safe space to talk about things. And then the second thing is to not automatically jump in to try to fix it, but to ask. And it's really hard because, especially when it's our own children, we don't want them hurt. We want to jump into that, you know, protect them at all costs, and sometimes we can't protect them. That's one of the greatest lessons of being a parent, is it's like, okay, I can't bubble wrap my kids. And by the way, we've actually learned that not allowing children to experience discomfort is actually not in their long-term best interest.
I believe that.
But part of this, and it's really hard because especially young children don't necessarily have the vocabulary for what they're experiencing, and so sometimes letting them draw pictures or some other things can help, but it's really not letting them lead the conversation as much as possible, because that's really where we'll find out stuff, and a lot of times it's stuff we don't want to know. We don't want to know these things are happening, or we don't want, especially if they're mad at us, we definitely don't want to know that. but one of the things is, and this is something you start doing with your children early on, is so that when they do have problems, they see you as somebody who's open to hearing them, not trying to correct or direct where their feelings are, but that it's a really safe place to talk, so that if they do run into something really problematic at school or whatever, they will come to you. They will tell you, But a lot of times kids won't tell us because they're trying to protect us, which is of course turning things on its head.
Right.
Being a parent, hardest job in the world.
It is. It is. You don't have a blueprint, but you do have a blueprint for a lasting marriage. That's your book.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's wonderful. So tell us a little bit about what is in the pages of that book and how we can all get a copy.
Well, what's in the pages of this book, it's actually a manual for how to be successfully married. It's broken out into things, foundational things that every couple needs to know, and then it's also split out into like the five common challenges to every single marriage. And by the way, children show up as one of those challenges to marriage, because we know that it's hard to be married and be a parent at the same time. And it also addresses what do we do about those people in our lives who love us to death, our family members, our friends, but may not be as supportive as we need them to be. Talks about finances, talks about intimacy, talks about communication and how to deal with all those things. It really is a how-to book because I didn't find a how-to book out there, so I wrote one. And the subtitle of it is How to Create Your Happily Ever After with More Intention and Less Work, because I don't believe that we should have to work at our marriages. That to me sounds like going out and plowing the back 40 in 100 degree heat and 100% humidity. Oh, isn't that fun? Let's go work at our marriage. But it's about being intentional. And so that book is available on Amazon, like everything
else. That's great. That is absolutely great. So tell my brains how they can get in contact with you if they want to do some deep diving there. I know that you have an online presence as well as residing there in beautiful North Carolina. Tell them how they get in contact with you.
Well, they can reach me a couple of different ways. They can go onto my website, which is www.foundationscoachingnc.com. That's FOUNDATIONS coaching. N is in Nancy, C is in Charlie.com, and they can contact me through there, or they can send me an email at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I. Thanks, Mom. There's no E at the end of that. at foundationscoachingnc.com as well, or they can call me directly at area code 919-924-0463. That's 919-924-0463.
You have just been a wealth of information, and I thank you so much for being here with me and my brains, just trying to get our head around situations. And what I heard more than anything was the fact that you need to listen, that you need to pay attention. You don't always need the one to be the chatterbox, always talking about stuff. You need to listen to what somebody else has to say, and then that way you can formulate the great questions and work through the problem. Friends, I want you to go back, listen to other edgy conversations. I want you to follow me on all of the major hotspots, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, Blog Talk, everything. Leave some comments about me and Leslie's interview today. Maybe you have some questions. Post them to me in the inbox, and we'll get Leslie to respond to them and answer your questions, because that's so important. That's what we're here to do. We're here to provide information to you. Thank you so much, Leslie, for coming here on The Edge. Please come back. Keep us informed, and maybe we'll do something with the podcast potluck, and we'll have some people there, and we can ask them relationship questions live. Would you like to do that with us?
That would be fantastic.
All right. I love you deeply and completely, brains, from the bottom of my socks, because my heart isn't deep enough. I want you to have a great day. Thanks, Leslie.